Let me Ephesians chapter 1. How many have your Bibles today? You see the Bibles. Look at this. I'm so proud. Let me see all the cell phones up. All the Bible cell phones, all the PDAs. And some of you who are really spiritual are going, yeah, I have the word hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I can see that. Yeah, I didn't bring my Bible because it's in me. Yeah, right. I believe it's in you, but you need to bring the word. That excites me to see all the Bibles today. That's great. So that's wonderful. I'm in Ephesians, a great prayer that the Apostle Paul prays for this church. I'm so impressed with it that I've kind of put together a little bit of a New Year's theme from this passage. I'm not going to go in. Now, this is a topical. You guys know the difference between a topical message and an exegetical message. I love exegesis more than I do topical. I think we have way too much topical messages, even though I do preach my share. Where you have a few points and you go to the scripture to make your points. That's kind of what this is. I love just going verse by verse and saying, this is what the Lord says, and let him reveal to us. So both have their place, okay? Get me wrong. So I'm on a topical message. Next week, actually, next Sunday is Vision Sunday. This Thursday, I'm sharing with our leadership of the church just what God has laid on my heart for 2013. I want us all on the same page moving forward. I realize something, though. And this is the heart that this message was born out of. Your pastors and leadership can have a wonderful vision that gets everybody excited. And that's good. We want people to have passion. I remember a year ago, I tell you, I was flying higher. I still am. It's a different kind of flying higher than a kite. But I was flying really high because the Lord had laid on my heart something for the year. And by the way, he did what he normally does, the above all that we can think or imagine. He did that in 2012. But I realized something in 2012, that the degree by which you and I are cooperating with the Spirit of God in our lives, how many know that there is direction to the Spirit? He leads us. As you and I, as individuals, as families, as we yield to the leadership of the Lord in our lives, will be to the degree that we experience all the accomplishments that a God-given vision will give us. You may clap for a vision next week. We are going to celebrate souls that were saved this past year. But if you are not cooperating with the Spirit, you and I individually, if we're not walking in the Spirit, keeping step with the Spirit on our own lives, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to accomplish the vision. It begins with some questions that the Spirit has for us in 2013. I want to say that it's the Spirit asking us these questions. I have four questions that I believe that the Spirit of God is asking us. Because my sermon next Sunday, and as I share and deliver what I think God is wanting to do in us, it's all going to be dependent, really, upon your willingness to say yes to the Spirit in your life. So what if we have, you know, programs and ministries taking place? If you are not in step with the Spirit, yielding to Him, following Him, being led by Him, I think there's going to just be a lot of work going on, but it may be short-lived. So the Spirit has some questions, but I want to read this prayer to you, and then we'll move on. It says, I keep asking God, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, and that's capitalized. It's important because it is speaking to the person of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. How many want to know Him better? If you don't know Him better, you got to do some things, by the way, to know Him better. There's some things you have to do to know Him better. It just doesn't happen. Okay, Lord, I want you to know me. Just kind of just show yourself to me as I do my thing. You got to do some things. If you want to know him better, to know him better, I pray that your eye, I love this phrase and how the, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Father, I pray today that the questions that your Spirit is asking me, the questions that your Spirit is asking Glad Tidings, those who call this home, may, Lord, we be prepared in every way to answer these questions in the affirmative, that we will say yes to your will, to your way. We will say yes to your Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see what your Spirit is saying. And may we be obedient to what you are calling us to, individually, as families, and as a church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul will go on later in the book of Ephesians to say, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. How many would say the days that we live in are evil? So you and I are called to make use, wise use, of the days that God gives us. He goes on to say, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He is saying, don't waste your time. Don't use up use your time or your life on things that do not really matter. Make your life count in 2013. And how do you do that? How do you live a life wisely? And the answer is by asking, and I believe the Spirit asking us some questions about 2013. So today I want the Holy Spirit to ask us these most important questions about 2013. They're not very profound, but they get to the very core of whether the vision that we share next week is going to happen. How you and I answer these questions to the Spirit will determine what kind of year we are going to have, what kind of year you're going to have. So here they are. In 2013, the Spirit would ask us, who are you going to live life for? Who will be at the center of your life in 2013? In other words, who or what is going to be at the center of your life this year? That's the starting point, by the way, in which the Spirit always starts with us. Obviously, there are some options that you have this year. There were options that you had a year ago. But being a new year, you have a new day and a new opportunity to make your choice. You can center your life around your career. That's a possibility. You can try to put in more hours, more work. You can center your life around the weekends. Some people, by the way, live for the weekends. If Friday comes, they check out, punch out, they come home, take a shower, and they're gone until late Sunday, and you live for weekends. Your life can center around that. That would be a choice. You can center your life around a hobby. And nothing wrong with hobbies necessarily, but you can put your life around your favorite hobby and pour your life and time into that. You can center your life around making money, and some in this place are very good at it. I've never been very good at making money. I've never been very good at keeping money. My wife can attest to that. And by the way, she has been given the gift as well. Some of you will get that about 3 this afternoon. Did he really say that? Yeah. You can center your life around making money. You can center your life around having fun. Man, I want to have fun in 2013. I want there to be some fun. Life would be boring if there was no fun. I want there to be fun. By the way, some of you are going, I don't know whether to raise my hand or not. How many want to have fun in 2013? Yeah. Okay, it's okay. Question is, do you want to center your life around that issue or that element? Is that where you want to put all your marbles, if you will? We have a number of retired people. Maybe you want your life to center around your retirement and all that that brings and affords to your life. All these things, nothing wrong with any of those things necessarily. The problem is they make horrible centers of a person's life. Yeah. If any one of those or two of those consume your life to the point that that's what you live for, it makes for a very weak, if you will, center of your life. So follow me. I am not, Pastor, are you preaching against everything now again? Yes, I am. No, I'm not. I want you to have fun, but if that is your whole goal, that's a very weak, if you will, goal. So, well, maybe in 2014, a year from now, you're going, boy, I had fun. Well, tell me where your life, if that was the center of your life, where will you be a year from now? What will you have to show for 2013? Well, I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of activities that I did. I did have fun, but it kind of leaves you, if you will, because how many know that 2013 also, well, you will have challenges? And this is where the problem becomes with many people. And I just sense in my, you know, this, when you put all your marbles in one of those things, when you go through the storm of life, you are blown away because your center has been weak. So they're not strong enough. Those things are good, and you will do some of those things, but if they consume your life, they are not secure enough to be the center of your life. You and I need something at the center of our lives that is absolutely unchanging, that can never be taken from you. Good times can be taken from you. Money can be taken from you. And when you get your first paycheck, you'll realize that somebody did. 2% on everybody. Welcome to America. People can take it. You could lose your investment. I mean, you could lose your health in just a moment. It's true. You will always be under pressure. You and I need something that is unchanging and secure at the center of our lives. And the Spirit asks you this morning, what will be the center of your life? I am not saying you can't do any of those things. I am asking I believe the Spirit is asking, what will be the center of your life, the anchor of your life, the foundation of your life, that which you cannot live without, that is unchanging, what will that be in your life? You know, why can't you make those things the center? Why can't you make the acquisition of wealth the center of your life? Well, I mentioned one, you can lose it as quickly as you earned it. The other thing is that is not really what life is all about anyway. Jesus once said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. Your net worth and your self-worth are not the same thing, because you're not going to keep it anyway. You know, contrary to the bumper sticker that's been out for a number of years, it says, he who dies with the most toys just dies. In fact, he loses because he invested in the wrong thing. He loses more than just... He thought that the goal was to get more. It is not to get more. So the Bible says, don't make that the center of your life. When you become a Christian, when you become a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, the center of your life changes. And I wanted to pause here a moment because I am concerned about a gospel that's being preached today. And I don't know if it's, or at least it's assumed in some messages and sermons, that life really does not change. You simply punch your ticket to heaven and you're good to go. Can I tell you, the message of repentance, and that word it seems to be kind of outdated for some today, but I love the idea of what repentance stands for. We have lost it in the church world today. It means changing your direction, changing the center of your life. Changing what you, if you will, count on, what you trust in. When you become a believer, something was meant to change drastically in your life. And what was that? The center. Your reason for living changed. And that's the message that I'm concerned that is not being preached today. Can I tell you, some of us seemingly are living far beneath the wonderful privilege that we have in God because all we simply did was punch in our ticket to heaven. Can I tell you, there is so much more He wants to do. There is life in Christ. When you make Him the center of your life, life changes for the better. You begin, your priorities begin to be put in the right places. How you are a parent, how you are a husband, how you are a worker and co-worker, how you are a boss changes because the center of your life has changed. And the Spirit asks you and I this morning, what will be the center of your life? If there is a time, I have never lived in times like we have lived in today. I have never experienced what we are experiencing. The uncertainty. The seemingly that we have, I don't know about you, but I sense like we have, as citizens of America, we have crossed over a line. I don't know if you feel that, but I've sensed like that there's something that has happened. I'm not talking politics at all, but we have crossed a line to where the spiral now out of control, uncertainty, is now a reality. I saw a little question that went out this past week. How many of you are more optimistic about the future? And now for the first time, it has now in the negative that most Americans are not optimistic about the future, that the days before us will be better than the days behind us. Why is that? Because Jesus is no longer the center of America. And so many in the church are following suit. They're going the way of the world. The Holy Spirit asks us today, what will be the center, the focus of your life? What will be the center of your life? What will be that you follow? What will you put your marbles in this year? Oh, I hope you have good times. I hope you have fun. I hope God blesses you financially. I hope that you walk in wholeness. But I hope it's because that Jesus is the center of your life. That He is the focal point of your life. And everything in life flows out of that core, that center, the person of Jesus Christ. Like Paul, my prayer for us is that we get to know Him better. And it comes as we put Him in His proper place in our lives. It says, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. The reality of the cross and our experiencing, if you will, the wonderful provision of salvation that comes by the cross meant something changed in our lives. that no longer do I live for myself, I live for him. You were meant to live for Jesus. He was meant to be the center of your life. And I pray that we will answer the question this morning. You're not doing it for me. It's a question, a serious question that the Spirit asks you. What will be the center of your life this year? What will be the focal point of your life? Self-centered or God-centered? Who is going to be at the center of my life? That's one, the first question the Spirit would ask us. The second is another important question, is what kind of person are you going to be in 2013? What kind of person are you going to be? Okay, Christ is the center, but what kind of person are you going to be? It's not really what you do, it's who you are. And there's a truism, and it's truism because it's true, that God is far more interested in who you are than what you do. I believe that. Because you're not going to carry... How many know you're not carrying your career into heaven? How many know that? If you're not sure about that, that somehow you'll be a mechanic in heaven, see me right after the service. God has far greater things for us than even that. But you can't carry that. All this life is just preparation for eternity. Do you realize that's what this is? You and I are preparing for eternity. This is not an end in itself. God is developing our character so that we carry it with us into eternity. He is concerned and asking the question of what kind of people we will be. The Bible is very clear about his plans for our lives. After we have made him the center of our lives, he does have a plan. For those God foreknew, Romans 8:29, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among his brothers. Here it is. I don't hear this much anymore, even in a lot of sermons that I listen to. Do you realize, do you remember there was there were songs that were written. We sung, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. You hardly hear songs like that anymore. But make no mistake, God wants us to be more like Jesus every day. Do you believe that? How many know that that requires some choices? So that requires something on our part. To have the values that Jesus has, to have the character that Jesus has, to be the kind, to have the kind of interest at the heart that he has. Philippians would say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, and talking about servanthood there. God wants to help me. He wants to help you in 2013 to become more like his son Jesus. How many want to be more like Jesus? That's what I want. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to live life just kind of flying through the motions, just trying to get through the week. I want to be more like Jesus. What kind of person, the Spirit asking, what kind of person will you be in 2013? 2 Peter says this, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Complementing your basic faith and good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. That is the message, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I love that. God is working to do that in you and I. The fruit of the Spirit, the development of that in our lives. In fact, is if you were to describe Jesus and his character, what is it? What is that we are trying to become like? You look at the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, which I believe that Jesus embodied: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All those wonderful things. That's what Jesus is like, and you and I are called to become more like him. And let me just say this: a side note. There was a little slogan that went around several years ago, "What would Jesus do?" And it kind of, it was a fad, you know. And it was a good question. What would Jesus do? It's somewhat been abandoned because we struggled with that. Because we found ourselves in situations where we didn't want to do what Jesus would do. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. We wanted to tell that person what we thought. We wanted to retaliate, but we knew Jesus wouldn't do that, so we got rid of our little rubber wristbands, and we go, "I'll just put that on the counter." But even to a greater degree, I understand. By the way, Jesus knows that, and you and I are in process. You're not going to have all the fruit of the Spirit all at once in great dimension, but you and I are becoming more and more like Christ. But here is a question that I want to... I am going to... And I believe this is of the Spirit as well. Do not go to any place this year that you do not believe that Jesus would go. Well, Jesus hung out with sinners, Pastor. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't do things that Jesus would not do. You hear what I'm saying there? Hear what I'm saying. This is a time not to back off and to get with the flow of the wide road. It's time to get on that narrow road. Would Jesus be doing this? Would he be a part of the conversation that I'm engaged in right now? Would he laugh at my joke? Would he laugh and be a part of the thing that I'm involved in? It's a great question, by the way. By the way, if the answer is no, he wouldn't have anything to do with this. Run the other way fast. Get out of wherever you are and hit the road. You can come back and evangelize them later. That is for free, by the way. We're not even going to receive another offering for that. But the Spirit would ask us, are you going to engage in activities that you know that Jesus would not be a part of? Now, I recognize we fail, but hey, people, we cannot expect to be used by him. Whether anything goes at it, well, I punched my ticket, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not talking legalism here. I'm talking to experience the wholeness of God, to be holy as he is holy. So the question is, what kind of person will you be? What kind of character will you develop? Will you allow the fruit of the Spirit? Will you become more like Christ? A third question is, what will your contribution be in life? What are you going to give this year? In other words, how am I going to use my God-given talents, my abilities? Am I going to use them for just my benefit? Or am I going to help others with the God-given gifts that he has given me? God has given each of you, 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. The Bible says in Ephesians, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago he planned that we should spend these lives... in living for ourselves? No. Spend those lives in helping others. We're meant to help others. There is one thing that we all have in common. All of us in this place, we want to make a difference. We want our lives to count. At least I believe that all of us do. You may have given up on the thought of having an impact or making a difference. I'm never going to be able to do anything that's going to count for anything. But I know that deep down inside, you sure would like to make a difference this year. You'd like to influence others. You would like to make a difference in this world. You would like to be the agent of change in your family. You would like to be the agent of change in our city. You would like to be used by God. Where do you think you got that desire? God gave you that desire. God wired you to make a contribution to your world. God wired you in that way. You are not put on earth just to take up space, to breathe, to receive from its resources, to retire and die. No, God put you here for a very unique and specific purpose and reason. And God has uniquely shaped you so that you can make a unique contribution. And the question is, and the Spirit would ask us, what will be the contribution of your life in 2013? What will you give? You say, well, my contribution would be so small that it wouldn't make a difference. You know, you never know. We just got out of the Christmas season, and one of the things that really fascinates me about the Christmas story is that somehow God used a little Bethlehem that was not so significant at that time, a very small place and out of the ordinary, simple kind of thing. No contribution is too small. I will say this, though. The church today, and when I say the church, I talk in general terms because it has nothing to do with glad tidings, right? We have become more takers than givers. We want to receive more than we want to give. Some of you this morning struggled to come to church. Well, I'm not going to get anything out of it, what, anyway? But you came. You were forced to come. And you come with this idea of what you're going to receive, knowing that I don't like any of the things that they really do, the songs that they sing. The pastor preaches way too long. He's so long-winded. You know, I'm just not going to receive anything. And I tell you, that is the mentality of our world today, a consumer mentality. What can I get? Even America is now becoming more takers than givers. I am concerned about that. What will be the contribution of your life? How many know that it's more blessed to what?
Give.
Than to
receive.
How many know that there is a greater blessing in the giving than the receiving? What will be the contribution of your life? I'm moving on quickly. And the last one the Spirit would ask us is, what will be the message of your life? The message. By the way, I don't know how many are here this morning. I look around, and just by looking at you, you're giving a message out. If I look at you long enough, the more of the message I get. I can see when someone's unhappy. The message is kind of a negative message, you know. I can see when the message is positive, but the more I'm around you, the more I get to read your message. Everyone in this room has a message. You're giving every single day. You are sending out a message. And the question the Spirit asks us is, what will that message be? What will be the message of your life? You know, if we ask ourselves the question, we allow the Spirit to ask us, what will be the center of my life? What kind of person am I going to be? What will be the contribution of my life? And then what will be the message of my life? What does God want to say to the world through me? What does God want to say to my family through me? What does God want to say through me? Did you know that God put you on this earth for a special reason? Because he wants you to say something to the rest of the world through you that no one else can say. A message. What will be the message of your life in 2013? 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says, your lives are echoing the Master's word. The news of your faith in God is out. You don't even have to say anything anymore. You and I are the message. Anything you say, that is what God, you know, like, if you are sharing, there's nothing wrong with this, because some of you go, well, no, I don't talk about, you know, politics or faith or anything outside of church. But if you say to somebody, you won't believe what just happened in my life. I prayed and God answered. That becomes a message of your life. If you tell somebody at work, I am struggling so bad, but you know, I have felt God with me. That becomes a message of your life. If you tell somebody this year, you know, I got a horrible diagnosis, but God intervened. I look at Ken, Brother Ken here, and Brother Ken, you're looking good. Brother Ken, he walked in and has walked in for several weeks now with a message. He doesn't even have to say the message. We get the message. God intervened in my life. What a message. But what will be your message? Well, no, I don't say anything about God or anything. Can I tell you something? We need to get the message. You're giving a message. And may your message be a dependency upon God for everything. Yes. May it go back to number one, that God is the center of your life. Every conversation can lead to that. You know, there's a guy who wrote a poem that says this. Edgar Guest, he wrote this poem, and I close with this morning. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but an example is always clear. I can so learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can catch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may understand you and the high advice, I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. And that is true. The message of your life. We're often more concerned with what people think about us than we are concerned about getting people to heaven. If there is one thing I can tell you, and I'll give you a little brief thing of next Sunday, is that we have so, and I, by the way, I appreciated the outreaches. I think we need to do more outreaches. But the thing that has been missing is the personal life message that you give out every day of committing to be concerned about people's destiny and trying to do something that you can about it. We have left it up to the church to evangelize our city. You are the church. I am the church. I will tell you this. We are believing for souls this year. Most of you, your mind immediately goes, well, yeah, Sunday morning right after we'll give an invitation, people come to an altar. No. He wants people to share this life message at the grocery store. I have a good friend in the church. I won't bring any attention to him because I didn't ask permission. But he always gets to that question when he's ministering to people. Have you made Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? It is the most important question that anyone can ask. Oh, we'll ask it behind the pulpit. But will you take your life message and will you ask that question to people every single day? Lord, use us this year. Use us in 2013. What will be the message of your life? What will be the center of your life? What kind of person are you going to be? What will be the contribution of your life? And what will be the message of your life? That's what the Spirit is asking each and every one of us. Stand with me if you would, please. I'm getting hungry. But I cannot dismiss you without you at least making some attempt to respond to the Spirit. Forget that I've preached the sermon and I've asked the questions. The Spirit of God has asked you the questions. What will be the center of your life this year? What kind of person are you going to be? What will be your contribution? Giver, taker? And what will be the message that will flow from your life this year? Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. We allow the Spirit. He has asked us the question. And Lord, even right now, in our hearts, we begin to answer each of those questions.